Glad you could join us. We've got a lot of things going on today. We'll talk about our legislative review. What kind of legislature do we have this year? We're starting to find out. We'll talk about some of the drug policy reforms, things going on at the Capitol right now and in the agencies. We'll talk constitutional carry, Senate becoming a school board, vaping crimes. Governor Weld won't go away. And we'll talk about abortion in Oklahoma. Stay tuned for Sooner Politics Weekend Report. Let me take a moment to tell you about Triad Heat and Air Company here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, serving northeastern Oklahoma for several years now. Ted Smith is a fine businessman who operates by the old-fashioned ethic of treating others the way you want to be treated. In fact, sometimes going beyond. Ted and Rhonda are some fantastic Oklahoma citizens and great neighbors to have here. Next time your family has a need, maybe the heater went out, maybe it'll be this summer before you need some help, trust Triad Heat and Air. Trust Triad to keep your home as comfortable as can be. They're at 918-622-6000, Triad Heat and Air. Welcome back to Sooner Politics. I'm David Van Rissakim. This is page one. The legislature is showing us some signs. This is an awfully new legislature. Nearly half of the members of the House are new. Several in the Senate, one-fourth of the Senate actually are new members. We were looking for some signs at what we could expect this year from our legislature, and I have to say, I actually am surprised by what I'm seeing. I was not expecting quite as good of results to come out of the House. At the same time, I was expecting quite a bit more to come out of the Senate. That part has been disappointing. This is Representative John Eccles. He's the majority leader. He's the number two man under Speaker Charles McCaul. John and I haven't always gotten along. But John's been an upstanding man, and I appreciate the fact that he is where he is. And he's gotten a lot of things done. Today, this week, he got some incredible things done. Let's talk about a few of the things that are going on. First of all, he's led this summer's interim study on medical marijuana. This is part of the bigger drug reform effort and some of the criminal justice reform effort going on in Oklahoma. Representative Eccles has been a big part of that. He works with me quite a bit on mental health issues and working for reform and other agency issues where we can actually bring about some better results for the mentally ill among us. Let's talk about what went on with the cannabis medicine interim study. This last Wednesday, I was down at the Capitol. I actually met with John early in the morning before we went to the interim study. There were a couple of groups working in the industry for medical marijuana and advocates for organization trying to bring drug reform for different needs. I was part of that this summer. As an advocate for mental health reform, I'm quite aware that especially those suffering with PTSD, veterans would be among them, are having very, very big difficulties with some of the other medicines that are commonly being prescribed. Very debilitating medicines. My father was on some of those medicines. Most of my childhood, my father was on tranquilizers. I didn't like it. He didn't like it. We didn't know any better. Now, we have something better. Actually, the medical marijuana is preferable for many of our veterans, and their doctors are working with them under medical supervision as required by law. We are getting some results in that. As such, I was asked this summer by a couple of groups working on recommended legislation. Didn't have too much to do with actual writing. There's some great people, but I stayed in touch with them. Representative Eccles this week brought them forward at our Wednesday meeting. And the representatives and senators were asked to go through the proposed legislation. Representative Eccles had a lot of amendments, and I think all but one of them passed. In fact, there was just one he put up, and then he decided, before he even explained what it was, he withdrew it. But everything else he put up passed. One other thing that was brought up by another legislature, Scott Fettgatter, narrowly failed. Even those people who voted no on his amendment did realize at some point it's got to be looked at again. It probably will need to. At any rate, the final result, the document that they're going to present to both chambers of our legislature, was passed unanimous by this group. And this is a very diverse group: Democrats, Republicans, senators, representatives, people who are staunchly teetotaler and against any form of medical marijuana, and those who wouldn't mind seeing it fully legalized. But this is a good consensus group, and it's a good piece of legislation. I hope that it passes through. The importance of this piece is it replaces some of the confusion that's in State Question 788 and clarifies a few things. Then it also incorporates the emergency rules that came from the Oklahoma Department of Health that's now overseen and enforced by the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. Those emergency rules automatically sunset at the end of the summer, so we've got to have something in place. Is this the final product? I don't think so. What I think we're going to see is the legislature move pretty fast to get this passed and on the governor's desk. It has an emergency clause. If that stays attached, then the rules will go into effect. What will be the result of that? Well, there are a few things. 788 was designed specifically so that the patient would work with the doctors they already are working with. In fact, the language said you need a recommendation from a doctor with whom you have a relationship. But the health department changed that, where it said board certified, meaning approved by the state of Oklahoma to practice medicine. They changed that to mean, no, you have to be board certified as a specialist. Well, what's the difference? I'll tell you what it is. A board-certified specialist is not typically your family doctor, or what we call our primary care physician. And as such, when you're running around to different specialists, you end up with too many cooks in the kitchen, if you understand my analogy. It's really better to have your doctor, when possible, work with this. Now, I spoke with my own family doctor, and he told me, he says, Dave, I don't know the first thing about cannabis medicines. Why would I be recommending a medicine I know nothing about? It's a very valid point. So, as somebody who is rather familiar with some of the people working this, I know some that have very good reputations. And so, you know, I at least told my doctor, said, here's a few doctors in our area that are showing a good, responsible track record of working with patients who really need it. Now, what kind of people are going? Well, people with pain management needs. I'm telling you, folks, this couldn't have come at a more crucial time, because as of November 1st, a lot of people who are on pain management care were being pulled off because of our state law that the Attorney General helped push through, a new law that basically says, no, you can't stay on pain management meds, opiates, I'm specifically talking about, indefinitely. It makes it very hard, very hard, very expensive. You have to keep going back to doctors, keep going back. And the pressure on these doctors, they're facing felony charges for all kinds of things, heavily investigated. It's getting really tough. You have to ask yourself, if you're a clinician, why do you even want to do this line of work? Well, there are people that are really hurting. Now, as of November 1st, much of that pain pain management medicine, the opiates, went away for a lot of people. But just 5 days earlier than that, October 26th, was the first day that medical marijuana could be legally sold in Oklahoma. And many people, especially our elderly who are dealing with joint pain, nerve pain, spinal issues, are finding some fantastic results with a non-addictive combination of cannabis medicine. We're talking the THC with the CBD oil. Now, why both? The synergy of the two, they work better off each other, and as such, many people are finding better relief with cannabis medicines than they were with the opioids. Not that opioids weren't powerful, but over time, your body builds a tolerance to them. They become less effective, and you feel the need for more and stronger medicine. And hence, people overdose. Yes, it's serious. People die. Nobody has overdosed from smoking too much marijuana. It hasn't happened. It's not a toxicity issue. Now, that's not to say medical marijuana doesn't have its dangers. It does, especially the ingestibles. The fact is, you can actually take too many because of the delayed reaction. As you know, you take an aspirin, 20-30 minutes before you start feeling any relief with the Tylenol or whatever. That's because it's got to go through your stomach, eventually into your intestines, get in your bloodstream, be processed through your liver, and broken down into something your body can metabolize and get to the proper places in your body to give you your relief. Well, with cannabis medicines, that can change it to something very potent. And some people, because of their impatience and their ignorance, and they have taken too much. And it can cause a psychotic condition, a very severe paranoia. You know, it's kind of like LSD. It's dangerous, not because of overdose deaths, but because of jumping off the fifth floor balcony when you've taken, some LSD. Now, that doesn't happen with most marijuana, and certainly not with smoking marijuana. But the ingestibles are more dangerous. That's part of the reason why a lot of us thought it was absolutely foolish of our state board of health to ban the sale of smokable marijuana. It happens to be one of the safer forms. That's not to say it's always the best form. It's not to say it's always easiest to take, depending where you're at when you need your medicine. But again, the doctors have a lot of freedom in Oklahoma to work with this medicine, maybe more than any other state when it comes to medical marijuana. So I'm going into great detail on this because I want you to know this is being handled responsibly. The advocates I've worked with have been fantastic. They're putting the patient first. This legislature, this interim study in particular, has been phenomenal. I'm going to say that of all of them. Both Representative Eccles, Senator McCourtney, who co-chaired it, and all the members there have done fantastic work on it. Have there been responsible players? Yes, there have. Some of the dispensaries have made it very hard on us advocates. They're choosing to market their dispensaries to a subculture, a rather bohemian subculture. And this is not casual use or recreational use marijuana. This is something that is medicine. And I'm irate that our patients who need this medicine are finding it politically in jeopardy because of some of the irresponsible marketing going on. All right? If you're a patient or if you know a patient, please encourage them to support a responsible dispensary. There's some of them, I'll call out certain names down the street from me, in my part of town here in Tulsa. There's a dispensary called Nirvana. Yeah. Down in Okmulgee, Representative Fettgatter says he's got beeline buzz. You know, this is just disgusting. Disgusting. And I'm asking the industry to clean itself up Many, most of them are great. There's a few bad apples, a few bad players in this. Tell you what, I've gone on this. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with page two. Let's talk about SoonerPolitics.org. SoonerPolitics is a citizen journalism project that we started nearly 5 years ago. It was an effort for citizens like you and me to make sure the news was getting out there that maybe the commercial or professional media wasn't covering, or perhaps they were held hostage to an agenda that really wasn't in the best interest of you and me. So citizen journalism is an essential part of keeping our democracy, and it's in that effort that we boldly proclaim that the freedom of the press is important for all of us. It's not just for commercial media. It's the right of the individual to print, publish, and distribute his free speech. You and I are the press just as much as the commercial media is. We need a strong commercial media. We need a strong professional media. But we also need the ability for us citizens to communicate directly with each other. And SoonerPolitics.org is just one of the tools whereby dozens, literally dozens of Oklahoma bloggers work together to make sure in this cooperative effort that we are able to stay better informed. Be sure to go to SoonerPolitics.org. No subscription fee, no membership. We appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Welcome back to page two of Weekend Report on SoonerPolitics.org. I'm David Venris again. I'm glad you're with me today. Let's go to page two. Self-defense rights. We had some fantastic things happen today. Actually, well, earlier this week in the State House of Representatives. I was at the Capitol while this was going on. On Wednesday afternoon, a floor vote was held on what was called constitutional carry. Excuse me, I got a little frog in my throat today. Well, some of you remember last April, this was a pretty hot topic because Senator Nathan Dom had an excellent bill that was brought up in the Senate. It already passed the House. Well, Representative Eccles, majority floor leader, and probably 50 co-sponsors or co-authors in the end supported this. What it really means is your self-defense rights are part of natural law, which is part of what was the foundational belief for what our constitutional rights came from. The essential values of liberty in Western thought, Western civilization, is you have an absolute right to defend yourself. And to that end, several of the states of our original 13 refused to sign the new constitution back in 1787, 1788, you know, that replaced Articles of Confederation that governed us, you know, after the Declaration of Independence. Well, so they said, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. How specific do you need to be? What does the word infringe mean? What does the word shall not be abridged, shall not be infringed, keep and bear arms? Well, what they've done to us is taken away our rights and sold them back to us as a license. And Oklahoma's been one of them, sad to say, that have required us to pay hundreds of dollars and go through very expensive classes, take time out of our day, file paperwork, go get blueprinted down at the sheriff's office, pay some more money for that, and get a temporary license so you can defend yourself. And when we said, you know, the right of self-defense is a natural right of all mankind, we spelled out that means the right to keep and bear arms. That means not just the machine that launches the weapon, but the weapon itself, which is the ammunition in this case. So what we've got going on is we've got Missouri and Kansas, where because of our agreement of reciprocity, you know, if you've got a Kansas driver's license, it's respected in Oklahoma, just like Oklahoma driver's licenses are respected in Kansas. Well, we respect a Kansan's right of constitutional carry because his state grants that to him. It means the Constitution is your license to carry. So anybody from Kansas can come down here packing heat, doesn't need a license, doesn't need anything, just they have to show that they're from Kansas. And we let them carry, but we don't let our own people carry. Well, how's that work? Why do we treat people outside our state, visitors, guests, part-time residents, better than we treat ourselves? What kind of self-loathing mentality is that? So this sets to restore that. Does it mean if you got mental illness you get to carry? No. It means if you've been adjudicated, that means due process of law, your rights were taken away from you. If you have a felony, and there are specific guidelines, not just while you're serving time for that felony, but for years afterwards, you do not get to carry. Okay, that's due process of law. That was stipulated in the punishment. If you're 5 years old, you are a minor. You are not afforded all the rights of the majority. You have to become an adult, determined to be an adult by your state in order for you to have these rights. Understand? If you are under guardianship of somebody, you are not treated as somebody with full rights. Somebody else answers for you. So there are still many safeguards put in place to make sure people have them. We decided for this, you know, under this legislation, when you're 21, you're considered an adult. However, we decided that anybody who is or has served in our U.S. military and is at least 18 has earned that right to be treated like an adult. So it extends to them. This goes on to the Senate. Last time, it passed in the Senate, but I could tell some of those were not heartily amen yeses when they voted on it. I think a lot of people expected Mary Fallon, Governor Fallon, was not going to sign it. And no, she didn't. She vetoed it. Governor Kevin Stitt has said he will sign this. So let's see what happens. Let's follow this. For this reason, I give our Oklahoma House of Representatives, as a body, a big A-plus this week. They've had a great week. I'll be back with page 3. You know, one of the things I like about family-run businesses here in Oklahoma are some of the solid business ethics that you see by Oklahoma families taking care of other Oklahoma family needs. George and Becky Fott are two such people. They're Clean Pro Carpet Fire Water Restoration Company has been serving the Muskogee area for many, many years. And now in their second generation with Jameson and the rest of the team, they're restoring to much of eastern Oklahoma's special needs for maintenance as well as disaster recovery. Look to George and Jameson and the whole team next time you have a need. Take a look at your carpets right now. Are you ready for carpet cleaning? Forget the big bulky machines you have to lug in and out of the grocery store. Just call Jameson and George and the team. They're in Muskogee, 918-686-0222. That's Clean Pro, Oklahoma. You can contact them at cleanpromuskogee.com. Welcome back. This is page 3 with Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Venris again. I'm glad you're joining us. The Senate School Board. Yes, we now have a Senate School Board at large governing all of Oklahoma. Now, what am I talking about? Well, I told you I gave the House an A this week, the House of Representatives. Fantastic week. All right? Not so good for the Senate. I give them an F. You heard me. I said an F. Why? Let me tell you about this Senate. I had a lot more expectations for the Senate. Now, there are less than 10 Democrats in the Senate. But the very first bill of any substance that came out of the Senate this year was a Democrat bill. J.J. Dossett of Owosso decided that even though every public school district in Oklahoma has an outright ban on kids bringing vaping devices to school, it wasn't enough. He had to make it a misdemeanor state crime in Oklahoma. You know, this is nonsense to me. And yeah, I tell you, this thing passed overwhelmingly in the Senate Education Committee, went to floor vote, 46-1. One person voted against it. Why did he vote against it? For exactly the right reasons. I want to commend Senator Nathan Dom for saying this is already covered by the proper governing authorities in the state, each individual school board. The problem with this law is it goes further than just telling kids they broke the law if they bring a vaping device to school. No, it goes to all the faculty. It goes to all guests, parents who come into the school. It goes to delivery drivers hauling in supplies, food to the cafeteria, paper, devices, the mailman. All of these people are now held to a misdemeanor crime if they're caught bringing in these vaping devices. It goes further than that. You go to the football game on Friday night. You're carrying a bike. I don't mean actually using this vaping device. I mean having it in your pocket. You go through a metal detector and it sets off and they're checking you out, you're likely to get arrested. Yeah. What if your church attends Sunday services, maybe this Easter? Sunday services at the high school auditorium. You got visitors there. Yeah. They're likely to get arrested. Folks, this is overkill. This is asinine. Yes, I said asinine, and no, that's not a cuss word. All right? The only vulgarity is what the Senate did this week with this. And I'll tell you why this is especially true. In talking to my family doctor a few weeks ago, we were mentioning some of the new cannabis medicines and how the different delivery of medicines would take place. Some of the medicines are needed for more immediate needs, especially in mental health, anxiety, the veterans with panic attacks, okay? And he said, my doctor said to me, you know, I wouldn't recommend smoking just because, you know, it's a much better delivery to have a more refined device in a vaping pen. And a vaping device would be much better for somebody who needs that. This is very important medicine. It's actually first aid medicine. And why do I say that? I'll tell you why. I live in the Tulsa area. About a year ago, maybe a little more, a veteran up in Owosso, who served 3 tours of duty in the Middle East, was having a very difficult time. The accumulative effect of all of his service in war zones left him with severe PTSD, anxiety disorder. So much so that he couldn't work. His family was struggling. His wife had to go get a job to hold down. She couldn't miss any more work. He was not doing well. Under the abundance of care for her husband, she called the local police and said, could you do a wellness check on my husband? And they did. As police would do, they knocked on the door and said rather loudly, Owosso police, you know, calling for his name. What did it do? It set him off. He went into flashback. He came to the door with a gun. He's dead now. He needed immediate relief from his severe anxiety. A vaping pen would have been an optimal way to deliver a very good and effective medicine for PTSD. That's just one example. People who can't leave their home without their medicine are likely not to leave their home, especially if leaving their home with their device and the proper delivery method would get them into trouble. This is just another ridiculous layer. It was designed to address kids with their new nicotine craze, using it with nicotine. And yes, that needed to be cracked down on. And the school district was the right level of government, local government, to address it. J.J. Dossett decided to turn our Senate into a giant school board. And you know what? The school board went along with it. Very disappointed. Senate, you got an F this week. And now this message will be back with page 4. When's the last time you were in an old-fashioned carpenter shop? Well, it's been a while for me, too. Let me tell you some of the quality you'll find when you go to thecarpentershop.net, serving Central Oklahoma. If you're sick of the cheap, junky, contractor-grade cabinetry that came with your home, or that maybe somebody just threw in on a cheap insurance disaster recovery project, next time you want good cabinets, the next time you want something that says something about the quality that you put in your home, contact thecarpentershop.net. Al and the team work with all the finest woods, all the finest finishes, and all the best designs. From traditional to contemporary, thecarpentershop.net. Let them be your source the next time you want to make a better statement in improving your home. Carpentershop.net. Welcome back to page 4 of Center Politics. This is David Van, and you're watching Weekend Report. So let's talk about William Weld. He won't go away! Governor William Weld is a liberal Republican who rose to the governorship of Massachusetts, 20, 30 years ago. And he decided, after getting elected his second term, that he was going to run for U.S. Senator. He took on John Kerry. This is Massachusetts. You're a Republican. You lost. I'm amazed that you won two terms as a Republican in Massachusetts, but hey, Mitt Romney did that, okay? So you're liberal. You're liberal enough for Massachusetts. And believe me, William Weld is liberal. So he decided to warm up to Bill Clinton's administration back in Clinton's second term. Wanted to be an ambassador. Kissed up to him. Tried really hard. Senate wouldn't confirm him. He never got to be ambassador. So much for William Weld, we thought. Along comes a couple of years ago, William Weld decided he was going to try to play libertarian politics. So he gets with the Libertarian Party, chums up with Gary Johnson, who was the leading candidate, and gets Johnson to put him on a ticket. So now all of a sudden, the libertarians all have to cheer for William Weld. Well, that was a stretch. Why? Because he was on the campaign trail a couple years ago and couldn't just stop saying gushy nice things about Hillary Clinton. That doesn't help the libertarian alternative. So the Libertarian Party was pretty fed up with him. He realized he wasn't going to get a shot on the Libertarian ticket. So what did he do this week? He decides he's going to switch back to his Republican Party. Republican, Clinton Democrat, Libertarian, kissing up to the Democrats, now back to the Republican. If there ever was a free agent in modern American politics, William Weld seems to be that free agent. Problem is, he can't get a starting gig. He's certainly not captain of anyone's team. So now he's taking on Donald Trump. Well, yeah, there is a contingent of Never Trumpers. But are they going to like William Weld? I decided to try and find out. So early this morning, I put up a social media poll on Facebook, Sooner Politics. Just go to Facebook, type in Sooner Politics. It'll take you to our page. I'd like you to vote in that poll. As of right now, William Weld is barely cutting 20%. Trump is 80%. This is Oklahoma voters, okay? So I took a look at some of the people who had voted in the poll. I won't mention names, but I was looking for a consistent theme of these 20% who supported him. Interesting thing was, they were not your typical Mitt Romney type Republicans. A lot of them were people that were fed up with the federal ban on marijuana. With 35 states now approving at least medical marijuana, and 10 of those states actually saying, you know what, we're descheduling it, period, regardless what the federal government says, and declaring our 10th Amendment state sovereignty, we're going to let people have that. Well, that is an issue that Trump needs to pay attention to, and there is going to be a growing call for rescheduling marijuana. If you want to keep it a controlled drug, you just can't keep it Schedule One. I think Donald Trump knows this. Now, his former Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, you know, is an absolute drug warrior and teetotaler, and by God, he was not going to do anything. So we'll see what happens here in the next year. But I think Trump would be wise to reschedule marijuana. Now, there's a growing bipartisan push in the Congress to have this done, both Democrat and Republican. And I know for certain it'll pass in the House. And I think there's enough support in the Senate for it. What it would do would be actually to return marijuana to a regulated drug in many states, so that your pharmacist would govern it. The pharmacy board would govern it. Now, there's a lot of people in Oklahoma are happier just having it through the dispensaries. But there are problems with it. There are banking problems with it. There are tax issues with it. There's all kinds of things that very much penalize the patients of medical marijuana. Now, obviously, in an earlier segment, we discussed a lot of that. But I think Trump would do well to address that rescheduling issue in advance of the 2020 election. If he does, William Weld won't even get 10% of the support amongst polls such as this. William Weld, you know, I'm sure there's a golf course you haven't played yet, and maybe you should. Maybe you should hang it up. I think you reached your high water mark in politics. And the more you hang on, the more pathetic you look. It's time to call it a day, Mr. Weld. Good knowing you. We'll be back with our final comments. Do you ever get the sense that the business of staying healthy is sometimes being co-opted by major pharmaceutical corporations? Yeah, I do too. In fact, some of the best medicines are not the ones that have a patent exclusivity for one company, and New Wellness is one of those companies here in Oklahoma that is actually going back to rediscovering some of the old medicines, the homeopathics, the oils, the plant-based medicine. I want you to, next time you have a health need, look to naturopathic means to take care of yourself. In fact, you might just save yourself a lot of health problems by proactively working with all of the tools of homeopathy. Go to newwellness.com. That's GNUwellness.com, 918-949-6699. Welcome back. This is David Vann with Sooner Politics Weekend Report. These are our final comments. We're talking about abortion in Oklahoma. It's a pretty contentious issue right now, and it's probably more contentious amongst conservatives. Why? Because there's a bill right now that's lingering in the Senate, SB 13. SB 13 actually declares all abortion to be murder. And I would have to say philosophically, yeah, I would, all selective abortion, I would agree on that. Why did I say selective abortion? This is important. Words mean things. If you actually were so unfortunate to be facing in your family a miscarriage and you went into the hospital, that's actually classified in medical classifications as an inevitable abortion. The first time I saw that, it was at a very devastating time in my family's life that the word abortion was used to govern such a terrible and traumatic loss in my family. But that's what the medical records show. The real contention in America and in the West, really it's a worldwide issue, has to do with selective abortion. Selective abortion means I don't want the baby, so I'm killing the baby. That's a barbaric society. And actually, I'm sorry to use the word barbaric because I probably just offended the people of the Barbary Coast. All right, let's move on. What we're hung up on here for some of us is this whole political football of exceptions. And, you know, these exceptions have really been a problem. The problem is because some people in their pragmatism think that, well, I can stop some abortions if I allow certain exceptions. Well, yeah, but you just lost your principle. You lost the strength of your moral stand. You're willing to watch some kids get killed because you thought it could save others. That's a problem. Morally, that's a problem. You hear typically people talk about, well, rape, incest, and life of the mother. Or, well, actually, they're now saying health of the mother, which really turns into a problem. So let's talk about rape. Should your baby die because you didn't get the father that you wanted? Should your baby die because adoption is not acceptable to you? Well, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Let's move on to incest. What is incest? Incest, by definition, is a voluntary sexual relationship amongst near family members. Yes, I said voluntary. A lot of people assume incest involves a child being abused and molested by an adult. Well, that's statutory rape, isn't it? Aside from that, incest is actually voluntary when it involves two consenting adults. So let me ask you, why do you feel a special right when all other abortions are illegal, that because you chose to have sex with a near relative, that you should have a special right to abortion? What makes you such a victim and not a pervert that you think you deserve a special exemption? So no, incest, by definition, is voluntary of consenting adults and is not deserving of any special consideration, especially not consideration of the ability to kill a baby. So let's talk about the health and life of the mother. Well, this is a sticking point. I remember in 1980, Ronald Reagan was, I believe, having his presidential debate against Jimmy Carter. He had debates against John Anderson as well. That was a unique year. You might be able to find the video somewhere, but he was asked about this. And they asked him about those exceptions, and he pretty much passed the test. But he said, Western society, including American heritage, has always stood for the right of self-defense as paramount. And if anyone is threatening your very life, you have the means, legitimate by our government in all other cases, to even go so far as to take another life to defend your own. Well, the problem with SB 13 is it did not stipulate that. In fact, in the recovery, or in the summary of the bill, it said absolutely no exceptions, which brings up about, you know, some very significant, small fraction, but significant number of pregnancies, which are what we call ectopic pregnancy. Ectopic pregnancy is when the fertilized egg, this little life, this fetus, doesn't attach in the uterus, which was designed to carry a baby for 9.5 months. Instead, it attaches outside the uterus, typically in the fallopian tube, if not the ovary itself. Why is that a problem? Because those organs are not designed to handle a baby beyond, well, not for any amount of time, hardly. And eventually that baby's growth gets so great that it will explode those organs, leading to, of course, the baby's death and destruction of those internal organs, massive internal hemorrhaging, and potentially the mother bleeding to death if she doesn't get immediate first aid. So since, you know, an ectopic pregnancy is such a difficult situation like this, and since it does have a very high risk of exploding internal organs, a number of pregnancies do end with a preemptive medical ending and trying to save, if possible, the reproductive organs so the mother can have another child. This is a very, very difficult time. This is a very difficult time because you're dealing with, in most cases, a very sad family. A family who is grieving the loss. But also you've got the mom and dad and all the rest of the relatives are wondering if mom's life is not, you know, in great peril. Then you're dealing with legislation here that, until it gets amended, basically instructs the district attorney to begin an investigation of homicide while mom's still in the hospital, trying not to bleed to death. So that was my one little stipulation on that, and I did try to reach out to the supporters and even the author and say, you know, fix that thing. Fix it so that you can go somewhere with this. Now, I heard late today that Senator Smalley, who is the chair of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, did say to somebody else who I trust is a reliable source, said that it's not going to be heard in committee. This is quite a political football. I don't know if they're going to use this issue of no exception for the imminent potential death of the mother as their justification. If they use that, then, you know, they've got something substantial there. I wish it could have been fixed. I wish the bill, when I brought it up back in January and there was time, the senator could have withdrawn it, rewritten it slightly just to clarify that this in no way negates the human right of self-defense. All right? I ran a poll on this week. It turned into some very heated discussion amongst friends of mine, and I was included in this, and people I admire greatly. I consider them longtime friends, but we just disagree on this. And at times it got heated, and so I kind of stepped away from it. But I asked, you know, do you believe that any pro-life, anti-abortion legislation in Oklahoma should or should not have a stipulation for self-defense? It ran about 2-1. I think there were 12 people said, nope, shouldn't have any stipulation for that. Mother needs to, you know, if she goes in for any kind of procedure of an ectopic pregnancy. She should face potential charges, a jury trial, and potential imprisonment for it. And about 27 people so far, just in this little poll I had, said, no, this is the right of self-defense. And clearly, this is the one exception where you're going to lose two lives, or you can lose one life. And the baby cannot go to full term. I mean, I hope, if there was some kind of way to save a baby, we should do that. But if you're going to save a baby in that situation, you're going to have to do it before the radical explosion and the loss of internal organs and the major bleeding. Because then, by that time, the baby truly is dead. I wish we could find a way. And maybe medical science will provide that very soon. Well, that's it for tonight. I hate to end it on kind of a heavy subject, but this is the world we live in today. I thank you for letting me be a part of your weekend. I'm David Vann with Sooner Politics Weekend Report. Have a good day.